Gandalf and Bilbo rode behind the Elven King, and beside them strode Beorn, once again in man's shape, and he laughed and sang in a loud voice upon the road. So they went on until they drew near to the borders of Mirkwood, to the north of the place where the forest river ran out. Then they halted, for the wizard and Bilbo would not enter the wood, even though the king bade them stay a while in his halls. They intended to go along the edge of the forest and round its northern end in the waste that lay between it and the beginning of the Grey Mountains. It was a long and cheerless road, but now that the goblins were crushed, it seemed safer to them than the dreadful pathways under the trees. Moreover, Beorn was going that way too.
"Farewell, O Elven King," said Gandalf. "Merry be the greenwood while the world is yet young, and merry be all your folk."
"Farewell, O Gandalf," said the king. "May you ever appear where you are most needed and least expected. The oftener you appear in my halls, the better shall I be pleased."
"I beg of you," said Bilbo, stammering and standing on one foot, "to accept this gift."
And he brought out a necklace of silver and pearls that Dain had given him at their parting.
"In what way have I earned such a gift, O Hobbit?" said the king.
"Well, I thought, don't you know," said Bilbo, rather confused, "that some little return should be made for your hospitality. I mean, even a burglar has his feelings. I have drunk much of your wine and eaten much of your bread."
"I will take your gift, O Bilbo the Magnificent," said the king gravely, "and I name you Elf Friend and Blessed. May your shadow never grow less, or stealing would be too easy. Farewell."
Then the elves turned towards the forest, and Bilbo started on his long road home. He had many hardships and adventures before he got back. The wild was still the wild, and there were many other things in it in those days beside goblins, but he was well guided and well guarded.